is Logan Sekulow, a pro-Palestinian leader, declares a number one enemy. And of course, it's Christians.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow. This is Logan Sekulow, executive producer Will Hayes joining me in studio. We got a packed show today. Lots of guests. Jeff Balaban, the head of our ACLJ in Jerusalem, is going to be joining us in the next segment, then followed by Mike Pompeo, and then later on in the broadcast, Rick Grinnell. And most importantly, I want to hear from you. You're my most important guest. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. And finally, you know, we have the proof. And I wanted to give a minute for those on social media to join us. So I'm going to give it a minute. I'm going to start teasing it. Because I have been saying for the last few weeks that when these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, as we say, protests happen around the country, happen throughout college campuses, that when they say pro-Zionist, what they really mean is not just that they are going against people who support the state of Israel, that specifically is targeting Jewish kids, Jewish adults, and evangelical Christians, Christian Zionists, because a lot of evangelical Christians, shocker, are pro-Israel. The fact, and again, you can be against Israel's government, but just for the existence of a Jewish state of Israel. And of course, finally, as they say, as the kids say, they said the quiet part out loud. This came from the Director of Outreach and Community Organizing for American Muslims for Palestine. Let me read to you on their website what they say is their mission. Again, this is an American company, a 501c3 nonprofit company right here in our great country. Okay, so we're not talking about an organization out of the Middle East. This is American Muslims for Palestine. Sounds nice enough. This is their about. The American Muslims for Palestine is a national education and grassroots-based organization dedicated to educating the American public about Palestine and its rich cultural, historical, and religious heritage. Founded in 2006, and has had offices nationwide since 2009. Okay, so that's just a generic, here's who they are. Sounds nice, sounds peaceful, sounds like they're just trying to educate people, even if we disagree with their point of view. Just sounds like they're trying to educate people. Let's hear from the Director of Outreach. Again, this isn't just some random member. This isn't someone. This is the Director of Outreach and Community Organizing for their group.
Anybody who has any relationship or any support or any or identifies themselves as a Jewish person or as a Christian Zionist, then we shall not be their friend. I will tell you that they are enemy number one, and our community needs to recognize that as such.
Enemy number one. Again, yeah, thanks to them for posting that. Enemy number one are who? Not just Jewish people. By the way, not just people who support Israel. This guy, again, the Director of Outreach and Community Organization for American Muslims for Palestine, a 501c3 nonprofit organization right here in the US of A, is saying enemy number one, someone we can't deal with or identify or have any sort of relationship with, enemy number one. People who identify as Jewish, that's number one. So not again. There's plenty of people who are Jewish who do not support even the state of Israel. We've seen some of them in the protests. Sure, I think they're way off base, but it happens. But it doesn't matter. He didn't say that. He said anyone who identifies as Jewish and anyone who identifies as a Christian Zionist. I have a feeling if you're watching this broadcast, all a Christian Zionist is, and they're trying to wrap that up with Christian nationalists, they're trying to wrap that in with fascism, all it is to be a Zionist. Someone who's Zionist just believes that there should be the right for a Jewish state of Israel to exist. Which again, a lot of evangelicals. As he said, because enemy number one, Christians and all Jews. This is what we're actually dealing with here. This fight is well beyond the college campuses. It's well beyond politics at this point. We're going to take you to Jerusalem in the next segment. Get feedback from Jeff Balaban, our office at ACLJ Jerusalem. Going strong with him at the leadership core. This is such an egregious moment, but it's what I've been telling you for weeks, and finally, we have the proof. Here it is. Give us a call also, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secula. We're going to take you live. Jeff Balaban, who joins us at ACLJ Jerusalem. Jeff, this has been what I've been saying for weeks, which was eventually they were just going to, you know, they were going to say the quiet part out loud, if you will. No longer is it being, if you're pro-Israel, if you're pro just generic Zionism, it's no longer those kind of statements that are being made by these organizations. This is American Muslims for Palestine. I read they're about us on here. It sounds very nice, very peaceful, as expected. A 501c3 nonprofit organization here in America. This isn't propaganda coming out of the Middle East. This is an American company with an American board. And if you look at who this came from, this was the Director of Outreach and Community Organizing for American Muslims for Palestine, which again, sounds all good and nice. We all know what that really means, that maybe they're smart enough to not again say what they really think. But I think we got to play this real quick again for people just joining us. And then, Jeff, I'm sure your reaction, similar to mine. Go ahead, let's play it again.
Anybody who has any relationship or any support or any or identifies themselves as a Jewish person or as a Christian Zionist, then we shall not be their friend. I will tell you that they are enemy number one, and our community needs to recognize that as such.
Enemy number one, Christian Zionists, and anyone identifying as Jewish, this is the true time when it becomes terrifying to hear this out loud.
You're 100% correct, Logan. And, you know, we should listen to our enemies when they tell us who they are. They say a lot of things. You know, he started this organization supposedly for the great Palestinian culture. Well, there is no Palestinian culture because the notion of a Palestinian Arab came into existence in the 1960s, taking over the name Palestine from what was always the Jewish state, the Jewish land. Palestinian meant Jew until the 1960s. And they've been clear since the beginning that they have one mission and one goal, total genocide of the Jews, but also they've said that while the Jews are the small Satan, that Christians and America are the great Satan. So the war that started on October 7th, Israel is just a front for a war that's against our entire civilization, against Judeo-Christian civilization. And they're getting closer and closer to saying it out loud. People like him who've been working for years and years, and now you have college kids bowing down to Mecca. They don't know anything. That these non-binary queer college kids who would be slaughtered in areas, you know, controlled by the Palestinians, bowing down to Mecca and declaring that they want death to America.
Right, death to America. And look, one of our producers here, he put together a list of, I think they all did, put together a list of who number one,
public enemy number one.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden, El Chapo. You're talking about big name terrorists. And what they label as Number one, again, you may go, this is some fringe group. These are legitimate groups within this country. And you have to figure out how to respond. We have to bring media attention to it, because maybe then the pressure builds to where they got to walk some of this back, but probably they won't, because they said enemy number one is Christian Zionist, which, okay, I've said that before. If you're saying Christian Zionist or Zionist, you're saying most evangelical Christians. That's just the truth, because most evangelical Christians support a state of Israel existing. All it is. You don't even support the government of what's going on in Israel. You're just supporting the general idea that Israel should exist. But then to take it one step further, and again, not to just say Zionists, but now just Jews. I mean, this is the time we have to wake up. And when you hear these kind of sentiment coming out of our own country, what has to get done to wake people up to realize what they're really dealing with? They're seeing the atrocities now on the college campuses. They're seeing what's going on. They're being force-fed lies. You know, there's obviously the situation happening currently in Rafah, and I see some of my friends who are well-meaning, like you said, posting things about, well, what about this? What about the people who are there? What about the kids who can't get out? And of course, we all feel horrible for what it has to happen. But in this situation also, the Israeli government said, leave. We're going to tell you to evacuate. But guess what? Hamas says, no. We're not letting that happen, because we know how we play this game, and it's using our own people.
That's right. And Logan, it's even worse. I'm going to connect a couple of dots now. Everything you're saying is true, and it's even worse because the same Biden administration that has essentially declared religious Catholics to be terrorists, right, that has declared religious Christians in general to be a threat to America, the same Biden administration that is saturated with the same kind of people with the same kind of background, I don't mean Muslims, I mean people who support jihad, who support genocide, or who are now influential in the government, have control of our government. And it's incredibly dangerous. And so this narrative is being presided over by the White House itself. And so we're in a moment of great peril now for America. You know, American Christians know well, and I'm not, I'm an American Jew, but I've heard this from so many Christian friends over the years, right? About they know that what happened in the Holocaust can never happen again, and that Christians have a role in fighting it. Well, that's exactly the time we live in now. That's the time we live in today. And the work we have to do is to do everything in our power at ACLJ to try and stop it on the legal front, on the political front, and on the media front.
Jeff, as we were talking earlier, you are seeing this rhetoric, one, get more brazen by organizations. We know that American Muslims for Palestine also help organize for Students for Justice in Palestine, which is behind many of these encampments and have been kicked off many college campuses because of their rhetoric in the past. But we also know at the same time, as we're seeing it spread here on American campuses, we're now seeing horrific video out of Europe where you saw at the University of Amsterdam, people wearing keffiyehs were beating Jewish students with 2x4s as they tried to walk through the campus. But we also have just a day after the United States president said that his support for the security of Israel is ironclad. He admitted that they had paused munitions transfers and marked a very distinct red line about any munitions going forward if anything happens in Rafah. What's your take on that?
Well, we've discussed this before here on Seculo, William. What this president has done is, unlike every other war conducted currently or recently, where the goal is to get non-combatants out of the way of the fighting, to move them to a different place geographically, this president has locked them in. He's demanded that the Israelis not let them leave. The Israelis have been trying to get non-combatants out of the way. Biden has forced them into Rafah, and then withheld precision munitions, which means they're forcing the death of Arabs. You know who forces the death of Arabs to make Israel look bad? That's exactly what Hamas does. And we have the Biden administration doing exactly what Hamas does, and every one of these casualties, every non-combatant casualty, their blood is on the hands of Hamas and Joe Biden.
I want to make sure people understand sort of the severity of this. You know, we can get kind of worked up in sort of the entertainment side of this, because you do watch these clips. And I saw this clip this morning, by the way, that clip from the, what is the organization? The American Muslims for Palestine. And I saw it because people like you who are watching share this kind of content. I saw this because Patricia Heaton, another Nashvillian, she shared it. Again, a devout Catholic, someone out there, not a Jewish person, but someone who has really taken a strong stand for Israel. But it's important. Someone asked, will you post this clip? We absolutely will. We'll make sure our team posts this with our commentary as well, because you don't only need to hear the clip. You need to hear about how you can take action and how you can actually support people like Jeff, like the ACLJ in Jerusalem. Right now, there's an easy way to do it. This isn't a, you can donate if you want. We encourage you, please, to support the work of the ACLJ. But we have a petition right now. You go to aclj.org/sign, because look, do that right now. Sign the petition to support Israel, because it's sad to say this, but now it's not just supporting and standing with the Jewish people. It's also standing and supporting the Jewish people, and also standing and supporting, likely, if you're listening on Christian radio, or you're a conservative, or you're a Christian, they are coming after you as well. We are now enemy number one, collectively. Jews and Christians standing together as what? As the enemy to organizations like this. And sure, you could have drawn that conclusion already. You could have said, well, of course, Logan, you've been saying that for weeks. You said it on air. Christian Zionists are who they're going to be coming after next. But it's almost like as if we said it out loud, that that is who the target was, and now they go, oh, thank God, now we can say it. Yeah, that's how it feels. As long as, now they understand. Of course they understand. They're the target. The target is American Christians and Jews who support the state of Israel. A pretty generic statement, a statement that was not all that controversial even 6 months ago. But now, of course, the tide has turned. So we got to make sure we're sharing. We got to make sure we're signing. We're getting involved in different ways. And Jeff, I know that you're on the ground there and it's important, but we also need to do it to make sure, like you said, that our message, thankfully, we're able to broadcast on platforms even like YouTube and Rumble that are available around the world, free speech platforms that can be seen, because we got to make sure the people of Israel, and I'm not talking about even the governments of Israel. You can disagree with the government of Israel, just like you disagree with the government here, but that the people understand that we are there for them.
100%, Logan. Look, as you know, as I said this before, look, I'm Jewish. I decided that my fight for the survival of my people and for the survival of America was with ACLJ, precisely because of the credibility ACLJ has, because of the depth of the power that ACLJ has legally, politically. And by the way, I know we're going to be joined soon by the former Secretary of State, who's a tremendous hero of America and of the Jewish people. And precisely the people like that who joined ACLJ, honestly, this is the place to stand to make this fight. And here in Jerusalem, I'm here because people here appreciate it. They're shocked at what's going on in America. They don't understand. Yep. They need our help, and they need the support, people supporting ACLJ, to support the work that we're trying to do here to help save the Jewish people and to help save America.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with Secretary Mike Pompeo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
joined by Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ. Of course, you know him as former U.S. Secretary of State and so much more. Before we get to you, Secretary Pompeo, I wanted you to respond because they just played. I was watching videos we played during the breaks. If you watch on social media, by the way, or on YouTube or on Facebook or Rumble, you don't go to break. You get special video content created just for you. So I encourage you to all watch this broadcast as well. But they played a clip from President Biden being interviewed, and this is when he kind of confirmed that they've been holding up shipments. But when you hear this, check out the level of confidence coming out of this president right now. Bite four.
We've held up the weapons. We've held up the one shipment as an old shipment designed. We've held that up.
And I quote, we've held that up, the weapons. We've held up the one shipment as an oil shipment has been designed. We held that up. But at least the one thing you can say, confirmed that this weapons shipment was delayed intentionally and has pretty much said if they continue their strikes in Rafah, the U.S. is not going to supply.
This is stunning and this is dangerous and the whole world is watching. So this has a real impact on the relationship between the United States and Israel and Israel's capacity to defend itself. That's what the real focus is. But think about what's in the minds of Hezbollah today. Think about what's in the mind of the Houthi rebels in Yemen. Think about what's in the mind of the leadership of Hamas, who's sitting in tunnels under Rafah. They're all enormously encouraged. They cheered that interview. You should also think about students on campuses who think, we caused this. Our chaos creation, our denying some students the capacity to live their lives, practice their faith, actually just get a basic education, that work that we did on these campuses influenced the President of the United States and has now caused him to break with a 75-year ally of the United States of America. The Israelis will get it right. They'll do the right thing. But the fact that the President of the United States spoke this way, spoke just the day after he'd given this full-throated support of the Jewish people and their rightful homeland, is indecent and truly dangerous.
It is stunning. It is shocking. I can't even imagine a situation, and maybe you could even tell me, as someone who's been at least somewhat in that situation, other than politics, which at some point politics shouldn't be the answer. Getting votes should not be what determines what every presidential decision is to make sure you've solidified your reelection. Unfortunately, that feels where we are, because how could an American president, knowing there are still hostages, knowing there are still American hostages, seeing what's going on, how can they justify this? How can they justify doing this in a time when there are still Americans held hostage? There are still these terrorist organizations. They're firing, of course, on that that dock that was built, the pier, the humanitarian pier. This is only, it seems like, for votes, and it's a sad state when that's the truth.
So I think two things. One, I do think there's a plus domestic political angle to this. I talked about these young people on campuses. There's no doubt he's thinking about the fact he needs to win Michigan to be reelected and what's happening in Dearborn and Detroit. I think that's true. I would also say, and I think the folks who watch the ACLJ for a long time and who have supported it so deeply and importantly to defend Israel's right to do the right thing. I think this is also ideological from the Biden administration. Think about this. We've got a fellow named Robert Malley, who at the very beginning of the administration undid the very sanctions, the very pressure on Iran that had kept them from performing acts like we saw on October 7th, right? It was a deterrent model against Iran. And these folks, the Biden administration, Rob Malley's status clear and suspended. He's clearly working on behalf of something other than the United States of America. I think, you know, this administration suspended his clearance. This idea that you can work with the Iranians and we've now encouraged them, this is another step in that chain. This is part of their ideology. It is the United States doesn't have the value set to actually defend things that matter to it. Israel is the problem child here. And if they just find a way to get along with the Palestinians, this would all go away. And gosh, if we talked to Iran a little bit more, we'd find peace and stability in the Middle East. That insanity, that ideology that is attached to that, I think is also part of this as well.
Mr. Secretary, you brought up the point that this confirmation of the pause of the shipment came the day after he gave the Holocaust Memorial speech, where he said his commitment to Israel's security was ironclad. Do you also make any comparisons where the fact they decided to even do this was right after Congress passed more aid for Israel. Is there some sort of Capitol Hill infighting as well with the administration on who the administration is going to support?
Undoubtedly. Think about this. If you're a Republican member who said, no, I'm going to support this package, maybe you weren't as excited about some piece of it, but you knew that the support for Israel was an important part of American national security. You now feel like you were given a bait and switch, because frankly, it appears that you may well have been given a bait and switch. I also always think about what's Zelensky thinking today. Zelensky's got to be thinking, oh my goodness, if there's some protesters on a campus somewhere, this will all go away again. Or if you're Xi Jinping and you say, you know, I think as before I actually take on Taiwan, I think I want to go create organizations and build leaders and underwrite college campus protests and go build out in the Chinese diaspora a political voting base. This is a model that is deeply dangerous. And I don't think President Biden has begun to consider the ramifications that go far beyond the problem that we face on the ground today. I'll say this. I'm confident Israel will go do what they need to do. I'm confident they'll have the tools and set of capabilities to do that. But man, it gets really hard when your friend and ally, the United States of America, has basically told the world, we're out. We are not going to participate in this. We are not even going to allow the Israelis to do the necessary.
Absolutely. And you see that. You said that model can be made where protests can happen and support can be withdrawn or created, whether that was in Ukraine or whether that happened in Israel, in the sense of you can find humanitarian responses even if they are built upon lies. And I wanted to play this. We've played it now both segments because it's just insane. This is from, again, American Muslims for Palestine. I read you the About Us. It sounds very nice, very peaceful, historical organization. But this is what's coming out of 501c3 nonprofit organizations in America. Of course, we know probably where the messaging is coming from, but this is what they're preaching, which is then, this is the organizer for who? For, of course, things like the college campus protests. Take a listen.
Anybody who has any relationship or any support or any, or identifies themselves as a Jewish person or as a Christian Zionist, then we shall not be their friend. I will tell you that they are enemy number one, and our community needs to recognize that as such.
Secretary Pompeo, you and I both said it. Once they start using Christian Zionists or Zionists, that means evangelicals, that means all of us. And then obviously for the Jewish people, he didn't even label Israelis or people who are supporting it. He just said anyone who identifies as Jewish plus any pretty much evangelical Christian in America are enemy number one.
Yep. Look, we've heard this language before. This is a anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist rant that goes far beyond just the idea that, boy, it'd be good to get a ceasefire. This is the exact language that is used by the Ayatollah in Tehran. This is the exact language used by those who want to eliminate the nation state of Israel, and we should respond to it accordingly. The second thought is, as I was listening to him, I was thinking about exactly where this money is coming from, and it's deep connectivity. So when we talk about politics, we're not just talking about a set of votes in Dearborn. We're talking about some of the same people who are underwriting President Biden's campaign.
Absolutely.
And some of the Democrat senators. So this funding issue, where these protests are being generated and resourced, undoubtedly is deeply connected to the Democrat Party and to the Biden administration's political campaign as well.
We got to fight back again. Thank you, Secretary Pompeo, for joining us. Incredible insight. Go to ACLJ.org to sign that petition right now. ACLJ.org, sign. They're coming after you now as well. Okay, you got to stand up. ACLJ.org/sign. Be right back, second half hour.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org. where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
If you're joining us right now and you've been watching on YouTube or Rumble or any of these platforms, Facebook even, or X, I'm going to really encourage you, if you're on YouTube right now, look, we know over 401,000 people have subscribed to this channel. One, I want to say thank you. But right now, we know there are certain hot button topics and titles and things that may not quite get served as regularly by YouTube's algorithm. But what helps with that is if you hit that thumbs up, you hit the subscribe, of course, and I'm going to ask you to comment. And if you don't know what to comment, you don't know what to say because you're so aghast at what you've just heard and you've seen these statements coming from these organizations that are calling you out as Christians or calling you out as Jewish and calling you enemy number one. If you just don't know what else to say, and I understand, I feel that way sometimes too, I'm just going to say, hey, Logan, hey, Will, put that in there. Tell us where you're watching from, because the more people comment, the more it gets served. And it's just the truth. Let's go ahead and maybe take a quick call. And maybe that will encourage more people to call. You want to do that? No? You want to do it? Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and go to Steve, who's calling on line one. Steve, you're in New York. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think it's time to buy the First Amendment, because you're not going to defeat aspiring tyrants that want to kill people for blaspheming Allah or for Marxist Leninists or Nazis. So First Amendment free speech, I think, should be a rebuttable presumption by clear and convincing evidence. And any ideology that says you don't have the unconditional right to mock anybody for any reason is not protected by the First Amendment, because you're not going to defeat these people by just saying everyone has the right to free speech. They will take all our rights away.
Steve, I think you do have to respond with speech, with more speech. Sure, I do believe everyone has the right to free speech, so we may disagree there. However, free speech, I don't know when it becomes threats. And when you start saying anyone who identifies as Jewish or Christian are enemy number one to an entire people group, you have to at least put up some red flags. You have to at least look and see what's actually going on with these organizations, because that's who is getting the training and the funding to the things like the college protests. That's what's happening. We have to be clear-headed about that. Again, they finally said the quiet part out loud, which was, not only is it people who support the Israeli government or people that even support a state of Israel existing, it's anyone who identifies as Jews, anyone who identifies as a Christian. They're coming after you, and we have to stand up to that. I'm going to see what we can actually do and what kind of legal work we can do when it comes to what these organizations are actually preaching, specifically at our young people around the country. But in the meantime, we have a petition right now, and we are sending a letter today, as you knew this was coming, to a lot of the major universities, UCLA, Columbia, Harvard. I think we have that letter.
That's right.
I think Will has it right now. You can see it if we could cut to Will. There you go. Will has it. There's the letter that's going right now to these the only part that's blacked out is just like private information, addresses and things, so you guys don't see that. But those are demanding that they take action to defend the Jewish and Christian students on their campus, or the students that just support a state of Israel. Help us defend them and defend Israel. I'm going to encourage you, though, to continue, because we're going to continue sending these letters, and we have that petition right now. And also, probably the most important thing, if you are being targeted because you are one of these kids, a Jewish kid, a Christian kid, a pro-Israel kid on one of these college campuses, or your kid is one of those people, I'm going to ask you to go to aclj.org/help, H-E-L-P, aclj.org/help. You fill out a simple form, and you are attached with an ACLJ attorney at no cost. And of course, as I've said, and I'll say it to you again, how is it at no cost? Because we are a nonprofit law firm. Supporters, ACLJ champions, those that give monthly, help set that baseline. Can't do it without you, but if you need help, we're not going to charge you either. It is free legal services, absolutely no strings attached. aclj.org/help. Get associated with one of our attorneys today if you think you are being targeted on a college campus or in your job, wherever it may be, because this is America, and if you want to support the freedoms that we hold dear, you need to stand up as well. ACLJ.org, sign the petition, and get help. Right back with Rick Riddell.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secular. We are joined by Rick Grinnell. I did want to tell everyone who is on hold right now, we are going to get to your calls and comments coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned. We do about 10 minutes with Rick. We'll discuss what's going on, whether that is, of course, the continuation of some of the college campuses. That clip I've been playing you all morning from the grassroots leader of Americans.
Muslims for Palestine.
American Muslims for Palestine. I'll make sure I get it right so I don't
Director
tell you wrong.
Of Outreach and Community Organizing
I'm gonna
for
play
the
that,
organization.
I'm going to play that clip again for you in a second. So re-up that. Get ready because I'm going to play it for you. Because, look, I wanted to get Secretary Pompeo's point of view. I wanted to get Jeff Balaban's point of view on it. And I certainly want to hear from Rick Grinnell. Because when you hear these kind of statements, again, they're saying the quiet part out loud, which is no longer is enemy number one. Just this sort of, yes, we disagree with the policies of Israel, the government of Israel. Again, we've said you can criticize a government. You can criticize a political leadership. Not only do we have not a problem with it, we encourage that kind of discussion and debate. But when you start saying this is when, again, the truth becomes a bit clearer. We've been saying it for weeks, but now it's coming from real, legitimate 501c3 nonprofit American organizations.
Anybody who has any relationship or any support or any or identifies themselves as a Jewish person or as a Christian Zionist, then we shall not be their friend. I will tell you that they are enemy number one, and our community needs to recognize that as such.
Enemy number one. I want to thank our friend Patricia Heaton for posting that this morning because I was looking on X and she had shared it, and it just took my breath away to finally actually hear. And again, we did some deep dives to make sure this isn't some fringe person. No, this is someone who has a very real position and a very real organization. And of course, it's about grassroots motivation of the Palestinian causes. But again, it's not really truly about the Palestinian plight. It's not about the humanitarian crisis that could be going on. It is about the destruction of now not just Israel and the Jewish people, specifically anyone who identifies as Jews. It's also Christians. And Rick, then you start talking about us and probably 95% of our viewers and listeners.
Look, what I'm concerned about is language like this, enemy number one, sounds to me like a reason why someone would kill you. And I don't say that lightly. But this is the type of rhetoric that we're hearing from the far left, and we're hearing it too much, which is when you label someone the number one enemy, or you label someone as completely, you know, a person who should not be tolerated at all, or their words or deeds should not be tolerated. What you're really saying is that this person should be eliminated. And that's what people are going to hear. Now, whether they intended to make that assumption or that deliver that message, that is what people will hear. This rhetoric has gone too far, and we are going to see some terrible consequences coming because the far left is completely unhinged, intolerant. They hate America. They hate dissenting views. They can't even be in the same room as someone, and they're calling for their demise. I'm very concerned that the mainstream left isn't doing enough about the far left.
And Rick, that was leads to my question for you also. As Logan described this as, you know, this is an organization. It's been around for 20 years. It does organizing with students in the Muslim community. We know that they work with Students for Justice in Palestine, which has organized a lot of these encampments. And Logan said this isn't a fringe figure, which historically you'd think this is a fringe idea. But when this is starting to infect the mainstream non-fringe of the left, and when you couple it with the groups that he targets, people who identify as Jewish or Christian Zionists, it really boils down to, it seems like that the pro-Hamas wing of the party shares a lot with the mainstream left in their hatred for just Judeo-Christian values as a whole and the foundation of America.
Yeah. Look, the reality is that when you call someone a Christian Zionist, what you're saying is if you believe that the Bible has a mandate that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, protect Israel, then you are the enemy. And really what you're saying is that's all Christians. People who believe that the Bible calls for the protection of Israel and protection of Jerusalem, that's every Christian believes that. So I don't understand why they're going to get away with attacking Christians like this. Again, I call upon the mainstream left to calm the far left down. They've got to call them out. They cannot make it seem like the far left is in control of the left. If the mainstream left stays silent, then that's what we have to assume.
There are a lot of comments I'm looking because of that statement, Rick, you just made, which is we got to have the mainstream left call out. And I guess a lot of people's thoughts, and I guess when you hear this kind of rhetoric, it's easy to see that. When you see who the left has made their rock stars, if you will, it starts to feel like there is no more mainstream left. It feels like the hardcore leftist agenda is becoming the mainstream. Now, you are in California often. You're there all the time. I know, and from what you probably know as well, which is there at least was, and up until very recently, a mainstream left you could at least have a conversation with. You could at least have some, you know, connective tissue that you're all in this together somewhat. But I understand our comments that are coming in feeling that way, feeling like the mainstream left maybe doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, look, I think here's one identification. If you're wondering if someone is mainstream left or far left, I think there's a very clear criteria now. And it's, can you listen? Can you actually have a rational discussion with someone who you disagree with? Inherent in the word intolerance is this idea of you tolerate another person's views. You don't have to accept those views. You don't have to like those views. You don't have to think that those views are good. You have to tolerate them, which means you sit quietly, you're nice, you may debate about the issues and push back and say, you know, I disagree and here's why I disagree. But you don't get up and run out of the room and try to cancel the individual who you disagree with, or far be it, unbelievably, that we have to talk about it in today's world, try to kill them, try to eliminate them, try to debank them. This is where we are. And if the mainstream left is going to allow this intolerance where you can't discuss issues and have dissenting views and opinions, we used to call it debate. When I was growing up, it was like, oh, let's have a nice, healthy, calm debate. Well, now you can't do that with the far left. And so we have really developed in our society a crisis. And I call upon the mainstream left to call out the radicals in their party.
And it is easy, Rick, to you know, I opened again X this morning. I saw that clip. First thing I saw when I woke up this morning, because again, Patricia Heaton posted it. She's been great on her support of Israel. I opened it and I clipped it. And, you know, for a moment, it is that sense of fear that comes upon you. We can't live in a world of fear. We can't live in a world where fear dictates us or mandates us. But I understand, because look, it was my initial reaction too, because it's how I felt just walking around in society right now, which is there is a sense of being Jewish, being a Christian, being something, you know, having to take my necklace and put it, you know, under my shirt. I don't not think that, because you see clips like this, and then when you do a dive and you realize this isn't someone who is just some random person on TikTok, this is someone who is a leader in this movement, it's scary. But we need to not live in fear. We need to stand up and support the good voices. We need to be there and to share our voice as well. That's why we have a petition right now at aclj.org/sign, because we know that you need to stand up. We need to live not in fear. We need to live in power and truth and say, this is what's happening. Call it out. And understand that's what's happening in America. Don't be blind to it, and certainly don't be naive to it, but do not walk in fear from it. Because as you said, is that moments where you read that, there are people who will certainly watch that clip and be motivated to violence. I can't imagine there won't be. But we cannot live that way. I think, Will, you got a question or comment. Get off my soapbox here for a second.
Well, breathe. Just quickly, Rick, before we wrap up here, President Biden waited till after he gave his ironclad defense of Israel speech to announce that, yes, indeed, we had paused arms shipments to Israel, and that he put those in jeopardy for the future, making Rafah his red line. I just want to get your quick take on that.
Yeah, first of all, we need to clip the soapbox speech from Logan right there and put it out. That was very good. Let me just say this. I know a lot of people who are very concerned about death and destruction and war, and they see what's going on throughout Gaza, and they're very concerned. But those same people understand that there are hostages that Israel is looking for. And those same people always understand that the solution is giving the hostages up and getting rid of Hamas as the government. Hamas is responsible for this. And all of the destruction will stop. All of the great conversations about rebuilding will begin once the hostages are returned and we purge the terrorist organization from being a government.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us. Hey, in the next segment, I want to hear from you. You've heard from incredible leaders, Jeff Balaban, Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell. And now it's your turn. We do have one line open right now. Those will open up, though. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. I'm going to encourage you again, 1-800-684-3110. Sign that petition right now at aclj.org/sign. If this doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. Do it now. We'll be back in 1 minute.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. Let's wrap up the day hearing from you. We've heard from former Secretary of States, former Directors of National Intelligence. We've heard from our offices in Israel. We've obviously heard from Will and I. Same. We're similar in that capacity. I would like to think so, at least. No. We're happy to be your host here, but we're also happy to hear from you. So let's go ahead. We're going to take these in order they came in. Mike's calling in New Jersey, listening on the radio, been on hold for 27 minutes, so I appreciate that, Mike. I'm glad we don't live still in the 90s where you're getting charged every minute of every, if you do, I apologize. Mike, you're on the air in New Jersey.
Thank you very much. World War II ended when Germany and Japan surrendered. This war will end when Hamas surrenders. That's usually what takes place in a war.
Yeah. Hopefully that day will come, but I don't know if Hamas will surrender or if you're just going to have to see the final destruction of Hamas. That is Israel's plan, because I don't think they see a world where Hamas just gives in.
No, and unfortunately, it probably would have come sooner if places like the White House weren't meddling to the degree of not letting Israel do what needed to be done to get rid of Hamas. They put too many constraints on Israel early on, and they continue to magnify those constraints. And that's all messaging to Hamas that, hey, if you hold out, you're probably going to have a little bit more leeway in the future.
All right, let's continue on. Oh, man, these came in seconds apart, so I got to really plan this out. Martha's in Florida watching on Rumble, our favorite free speech platform. Martha, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'm an ACLJ champion for a long time.
Thank you.
I have two questions. How can Biden stop the weapon sale to Israel when Congress authorized it? How can we get word to Israel that we are behind them, the American people are, and we're not behind what this administration does? Thank you.
Martha, thank you. To answer the second part first, sign that petition, because that goes straight to there. And also, show when you see those big numbers, when you see 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 on our YouTube channel. So engage with the ACLJ. You heard from Jeff Balaban. He is in Jerusalem. He's the head of our ACLJ Jerusalem office. Why does that exist? Why is it not like our European Center? Our European Center is the ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice, fighting for European law. No, it's ACLJ. It's the American Center for Law and Justice, Jerusalem, because we are being the important voice for the American people in Israel. You can be a part of that too. Go to ACLJ.org, get engaged, and of course, sign that petition. To answer the first part of your question, and first, I also want to say thank you for watching on Rumble, because Rumble, you know, YouTube has algorithms, Rumble does not. So we always know consistently, pretty much a few thousand people are watching on Rumble each and every day. YouTube, we know it depends on the content we're saying, whether they're going to serve it or not. And though we're 400,000 strong, and I appreciate it, we know these conversations are different. So thanks to our friends at Rumble for standing up for free speech. But Will, I think you have an answer to the first part.
That's right. And I think a little bit you can read into that statement that we played a little bit earlier in the show from Joe Biden, which was a little jumbled, but he said we've held up the one shipment. It was an old shipment. And I believe he was trying to give himself some cover there that as the slated aid was in their pipeline, this one, it was already designated. It was pre-congressional authorization of more aid. I think he was trying to really draw out that, hey, this is something that I didn't just completely, you know, slap the face of Congress. But I do think also that they have a lot of leverage. Once Congress passes aid, which is the dollar amounts that can go, there's a lot of leeway within the administration of how they divvy that up. So being specifically for these types of bombs, they could say, well, no, we're going to help bolster this area of the Iron Dome or do something here where it doesn't necessarily not still go to Israel, but it is changing the tactics and the purpose of what the aid was meant for.
All right, let's continue on. Let's hopefully answer your question. Jim in New Hampshire. Jim's got a different point of view, but that's okay. I like to take those as well. Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, just an earlier caller made a point that I found disagreeable. Mentioned that Palestinian culture isn't a real culture, that it just came about in 1967. And to me, that's just a hateful remark. I think we can love, loving your enemies is the heart of what Jesus taught. It's what makes us different from Islam and from Judaism.
Jim,
and I think one of the ways we can look.
I 100% agree with the second part you had to say. I did actually want to put you on the air because I want to clarify a bit of what that was actually from our offices at ACLJ Jerusalem. That was Jeff Balaban talking about Palestinian culture and how maybe that lacks Palestinian culture exists. But I think what he was more saying was that traditional Arab culture in the Middle East was also included in sort of what was considered Palestinian culture historically up until that point. And that is a rather new situation to start labeling it as Palestinian culture. And some of that is specifically to eradicate a state of Israel.
Right, and we actually have a video up on our YouTube channel called The Myth of Palestine that does walk through the myth that is put out there by many of the protesters and the pro-Hamas propaganda that you see that differentiates itself between the historic Arab population of the area and also shows the rich history of the Jewish population of that area, but with what is considered the modern Palestinian movement, which was born out of a completely different set of parameters and historical parameters after the creation of the State of Israel, and where there was the rebellion against that by many that were Jordanian Arabs or Egyptian Arabs that were against the creation of the Jewish state.
Not sure if we're going to be able to get to everybody today. Quickly, Debbie, though, in Massachusetts, line one, you're on the air.
Hi, my question is if these children or these college children are going to college, maybe the colleges should take a stand and tell the parents that if your child does not get educated, because evidently they're not fully educated on exactly what's going on. And
Debbie, I know what you're getting to, and I'm only doing this because I'm running out of time. A lot of people are saying that. Why are they not being expelled and that, so on and so on. Some of the universities are, by the way, but we have sent this letter today to a lot of the top universities to demand that.
Columbia, Harvard, UCLA, Michigan, USC, and UC San Diego specifically are receiving this letter today, and it's the duty of the school leadership to protect Jewish students from a hostile campus environment and all of those things that are entailed, what they are legally responsible for doing to protect those students.
All right, let's go to Michelle very quickly in Washington. Ken, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to you today, but I really do appreciate your comment. Michelle, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Very quickly, I want to call everybody out to pray and to sign the petition, but to call White House directly and tell them that we support Israel and raise your voice. These are important voices, and let God do the rest, but we need to do our part.
You know what? Michelle, I don't mean to cut you off, but you know what? You've inspired me right now. You know what I'm going to say? If you sign that petition right now, we'll take that. We'll deliver it to the White House as well. How about that? We can do that. Team, you're hearing me right now? Make that happen. Michelle's right. You've inspired me. So go to aclj.org/sign. We will deliver that as well. We will deliver this petition to the White House directly. We can do that. Sign the petition. aclj.org/sign. Support the work of the ACLJ. Again, when you can hear us work like that, work on a dime, things can happen like this. You can inspire us because you are the reason this organization exists. So Michelle, thank you for that. You're right. I'm going to get that done here at the ACLJ. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us and commenting and for calling in. Sign that petition while you can. aclj.org/sign. Again, pray for us. Pray for the organization. Make sure you're staying engaged. But that prayers and those support that comes from that means so much more to us than anything you could possibly do. So sign the petition, support the ACLJ, do all that, but pray for us. We'll be back again tomorrow. See you then.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.